Yes, Lord, we want to see you. We want to know of your presence with us. And we thank you that you said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And today, Lord, we knock on that door of faith. We pray as we hear your word that you would reveal what you have to say to us, to our hearts. And Lord, that we would hear today your word in a new way. And as we reflect on it, Lord, we pray that we would be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please take your seats as Sarah comes to read God's word to us.
Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we've seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And I think I say, this is the word of God.
Thanks very much, Sarah. So, we're going to think about what we've just heard there, and as we do, we're going to ask the Lord to not only help us hear what we've heard, but to actually in some way take it from being a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. And we'll be thinking about that difference between head and heart knowledge this morning as we reflect on God's word. Talking about knowledge, when I was 11, I went to a community secondary school. And I chose it because I knew the music teacher, having been involved in a junior orchestra for some years before when I was in primary school. The school was in what some might say was a deprived area. And since I didn't throw things around in the classroom or disrupt learning, the teachers saw my hunger to learn and they went out of their way to support me. Although there were some lessons that I felt a bit unsafe in, mainly because of a guy called Brian. He was quite a large and unpredictable boy. And he basically, he caused me some tensions in my lessons. But I still enjoyed learning and I was really hungry to hear about all the different subjects and finding out so much about the world and everything else. All but one subject. And that was religious education. My only lasting memory of RE is of the teacher handing out a pile of old graffiti-marked and spine-damaged Bibles with pages that were missing. And when with heavy, sleepy eyes you looked down at them side-on, you could see that people's initials had been marked and other choice words into the long spine where you open up and it all disappears. And if you open up the Bible, as I say, they would disappear. Actually, to be honest, if you opened up the Bible during the lesson. My real concern, actually, was that Brian, in all his wisdom, had been quite good at coming up with a new use for a Bible as a missile that would come my way at some point during the lesson and would give me a painful interpretation of Bible bashing. The books were one thing, the worksheets were another. Does anyone remember the purple ink that went round? Did you ever see that? Yeah, the purple ink. And then you'd have literally, there were literally as many questions you could imagine on this passage that we were supposed to read on the topic. And while my teacher did all she could to keep everybody in their seats, I'm afraid I was not particularly inspired. And I'm sure part of that was to do with my heart and my head. The fact that I just didn't engage with it. But it was God's word. So that said, I had a bit of background in Christianity. My mum took me a few times to Christingles, which was great. I loved the sweets, and they did put sweets rather than raisins. And we had, you know, jelly tots at those days, which were fantastic. And I probably also would say that I associated with Christianity because it was the religion of the country. And so I knew and sang Christmas carols at school and was relieved to believe that I hadn't broken any of the Ten Commandments. I enjoyed Easter, but I didn't quite understand where the Easter Bunny or reincarnation fitted into it, both of which I liked the idea of. And by the way, neither of those are Christian beliefs, because we believe in resurrection, that Jesus came back to life. So I did believe there was more to life than I understood, and with respect to the details of that faith, I was well and truly in the dark. I knew about my religion to a certain extent, but I didn't have a relationship with God. Surely, despite turning up at night to see Jesus, Nicodemus was an enlightened man. He was the leader and teacher of the Jewish Pharisee, basically, who obeyed the Torah, which are the first teachings, first five books in the Torah, and also in the Christian Bible. He was an educated man in society, and he taught the scriptures. He helped people to know and grow in their understanding of the Jewish faith, and he helped people to keep the rules. Nick must have been intrigued by Jesus. He knew that Jesus had authority that had been given to him by the Lord to do things that could only be explained as coming from God. And so he began by recognizing him as a teacher and validating his authority. What Nicodemus couldn't have expected was the riddle-like answer that Jesus gave. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. As riddles go, that one was quite easy to explain away. You can't be born again, Jesus. How can anyone be born again after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born? Oh dear, Nick showed that despite what he knew, he really was spiritually in the dark. So Jesus made it clear. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of spirit. Okay, clear in a Jesus type of way. You might think that Jesus was saying that we had an earthly birth and then another spiritual birth when you give your life to Jesus. That would make sense, wouldn't it? A natural and supernatural birth. And of course, that's true. But if we look at the Jewish scriptures and culture at the time, it's unlikely that that's what he was saying. Now, there are loads of views as to the role of baptism in this, but in short, it's likely that Jesus was talking about a new birth that renews and cleanses in the way that God had promised in the Old Testament. If we look at the book of Ezekiel was a prophet, God said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe all my ordinances. Then you shall live in the land that I gave to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Jesus was talking no less about the complete renewal. He wanted the complete renewal of the whole person. We're born into faith in Jesus, recognizing his death on the cross for our wrongs. And we have become a new creation by the power of his Spirit. Jesus was talking about the regeneration of our hearts of stone that would then be increasingly transformed to ones that seek to do God's will. Now, Nicodemus, like many of the Pharisees, had mostly looked at the scriptures or his Bible in the way of doing what he was told rather than turning back to God. If he kept the rules, he'd be okay. The truth was that it wasn't so much about rules, but about relationship with God. It's not about a birth or education into a new religion, but the transformation into a faith-filled relationship with Jesus. This is one of the reasons why I didn't like RE. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I was fixated on the fact that I thought I was keeping the Ten Commandments. In fact, I probably broke every single one of them. I did. But the thing was, and you might think, but what about murder? Well, actually, what about when we say things about people's characters? You know, we can't possibly just keep the Ten Commandments. And that's why Jesus came. Paul wrote to his friends in Galatia. He said, I have been crucified with Jesus, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It was out of a loving relationship with God that Tim Tebow shared his hope for and love for Jesus. It's out of a loving relationship with God that we turn away from our selfish needs, and it was out of a love for Jesus that Jesus couldn't die for himself. I got a bit cold. Jesus himself died. And God loved Jesus, and God gave his Son. But it was out of that love that Jesus was willing to die for our sins, for the things that we do wrong on the cross, so that we could be friends with God, so that we could have a relationship with God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. Nicodemus's faith, with all its understanding, could not understand how friendship was key to a relationship with his people. After Jesus said, you must be born from above, Nicodemus said, how can these things be? He was truly in the dark. But let's not be critical of Nicodemus, because we've all lived in darkness. And Jesus died on the cross so that we could come into the light, so that humanity could be brought into the light. There is a difference, though, between those in darkness and those in light. And again, it boils down to relationship. A life-changing decision needs to be made, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. And they're decisions that can't be made purely on evidence or on understanding alone. A turning away from sin and turning towards Jesus is essential. Our role of transformation is having faith, which is supported by God's work in us. We find ourselves in spiritual darkness as we turn away from God, but we can, in faith, turn away from darkness to walk in God's light. Knowledge about Jesus is not the same as knowing Jesus. What our reading reminds us is that we need a transformational experience of Jesus in relationship. Yes, we can know of him by listening to others, reading the Bible, or reading information about his life to us, even if our relationship with him is non-existent. But friends, that isn't how the relationship between God and us is meant to be. Jesus didn't die on the cross to change God's attitude towards you. I'll say that again. Jesus didn't die on the cross to change God's attitude towards you, but to demonstrate God's radical love for you. I'll say that again, because actually, this week, as I was reflecting on that, I realized there are still times that I think that that's what happened. But Jesus didn't die on the cross to change God's attitude towards you. He loves you. But he did to demonstrate how radical that love is. And that's something that shows the length that God's willing to reveal that love, to deliver you and me into a new spiritual relationship, both for now and forever. It's a love that moves us from darkness into light, from mere survival to the point where we thrive. It's a connection that makes us aware of the move from getting right with God to a relationship as a child of God. It's a movement from being tolerated by God to being transformed by his Spirit. I had an uncle, he's passed away now, but he was a guy who was so lovely and so kind, and he went to church, I think, every week of his life. And this example I'm going to give happened quite some time before he passed away, so I have hope. He went to church all his life, and when he was in his 80s, he turned around to my gran, and this was the gran that I mentioned last week that gave me the Bible, and he said to her, "I wish I could believe." And this was after a whole life of going to church every single week. He'd heard all the scriptures. He'd heard all the things. He'd responded in the way that he should do that was on the service sheets that they had. But he didn't have a relationship with Jesus at that time who spoke with her. He hadn't made that choice. Because in many respects, I wonder whether it was a choice he was trying to make purely with his head. Nicodemus needed to make a choice, but it wasn't one that he could make with his head alone. My uncle Frank wanted to make a choice with his head, but it's one that he couldn't make through his understanding alone. As important as knowledge is, I mean, of course, it doesn't mean to say that we can't be rational in the way that we look at the Bible. We can. Faith isn't about how much we understand about God or his word. We can study the scriptures from the moment that we can read to the point at which we pass away, but it's possible to still be spiritually in the dark. The most important decision that you and I can make in faith isn't made with our head, it is made with our heart. But that doesn't mean it's any less about knowledge. I could know about you, but not know you properly. And the same is true for you, for me. But to know each other properly, we need a relationship. And for that relationship to thrive, you and me need to trust each other. And so what about Jesus? Have you given your life to him? Maybe you know Scripture quite well. Maybe you've never opened a Bible. But have you said not just a head yes, but a heart yes to the Lord? Do you know Jesus? Here's another essential one. Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust God? Amongst all the questions that you have. Because if we don't trust God, it's hard to have a relationship with him. You can't have a relationship with someone you don't trust. But we do have questions. It doesn't mean we'll have all the answers, especially now. But we do know that when we meet Jesus face to face, that we will see not just a reflection, but the fullness of God. The truth and the revealed God, and everything will make sense. And it doesn't mean that everything's going to be sorted. It doesn't mean we will have all the answers this side of the time we meet Jesus. But what we can right now do is we can take that step of wherever we are in that relationship, saying yes. Not just with our heads, but with our hearts. So shall we just do that together now? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that those who believe in him would not die but have eternal life. And just as we're allowing those words to sink in, just be aware of God's Spirit with us. We sang, "Open the eyes of my heart." Lord, we pray, open the eyes of our hearts today to move forwards in relationship with you in whatever way you'd like us to. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us, Lord, to say yes. Be with us in the questions. Help us to step into your light. Just speak to the Lord. Just have a chat with him as a friend. That might be difficult for some. It might be that you've been used to speaking in a formal way to God. But just bring before him, in the language that you use with your closest friend, your feelings and your thoughts. And as you do that, just know that Jesus has made a way for that relationship to continue going through his dying on the cross, through his being raised back to life. And then the third essential part of that is through his sending of his Holy Spirit to be with you as a counselor and as a friend. And so receive that counselor and friend now into your hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Give us all that we need. Help us, Lord, to grow in faith. Help us to trust in you. In Jesus' name.